Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord and lift up your voice one more time and shout unto God. If you came with faith, you ought to shout unto God with a great shout. You can already feel great faith in this place tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, great faith is here now. You can feel miracles in the atmosphere already. If you came with sickness in your body, you better say goodbye to it, because you're not leaving the same way you came. God is going to heal you tonight. God is going to set you free tonight. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I dare you to run for the door. I remember being in a service years ago. When I came to the pulpit, I said, God is going to fill everybody with the Holy Ghost now. And when I said that, I followed it with, if you don't want the Holy Ghost, run for the door. And there was a first-time visitor on the second row. And to my dismay, he took me up on that. It was a very deep church, maybe three times deeper than this, but very long tunnel. And I don't think he anticipated how far that was when he started running. And I remember him starting to run. And every row he passed, people literally started falling over, speaking in other tongues. By the time he got to the back row of the church, over 110 people had gotten the Holy Ghost in seconds. When he grabbed the handle of the door to open it, instead of pushing, he pulled and trapped himself in the presence of the Lord. While he was pulling on the door, literally, the Holy Ghost hit him like lightning. He fell on the floor speaking with other tongues, came running back down the aisle speaking in other tongues. So I can tell you, you can't run from this and you can't get away from this. So you might as well just get this tonight. So if you got it, you're going to get it again. And if you don't have it, well, you're going to get it tonight. Whew. Somebody say, I believe that. Look at your neighbor, say, it will happen tonight. Why don't you turn to Mark chapter 16? And while you turn there, let me say what a great honor it is to be back here in Sterling. I think I got to be here 10 years ago in 2008. And yes, we had 10 receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. And what a great, great time we had together. And this wonderful church has been a partner with me ever since. And my family, and you've prayed for us and you've loved us. And I am so very grateful, and I give honor to my pilot. This is the first time I've ever had a private pilot. I feel so important. And I just feel so humbled to be here with you wonderful people of God, and to be blessed by our brother for bringing me all the way here, and to have the open door to be back. Pastor, thank you for letting me come, and to get picked up at the airport by twins. I mean, come on, that doesn't happen every day. It's like, you know, that doesn't happen. I just felt so special. Everything was over the top. They had twin bottles of water in the back seat for us. And It's first class. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, the Bible said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Verse 20 said, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. And I just want to preach for a few moments tonight. Not very long, I promise you. I want to preach for just a few moments. Simply this: it will happen tonight. It will happen tonight. And if you believe that, I want you to put your Bibles down and one more time clap your hands with all of your might. And if you have the Holy Ghost, why don't you lift up your voice and begin to speak with other tongues? Come on and lift up your voice. Come on and praise the Lord. Come on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Before you're seated, I want you to shake hands with two people and look them right in the eye. And I want you to tell them, say, "God will do it tonight." Hallelujah. 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 Clap your hands to the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Let's do that just a little bit more. I can feel miracles in the atmosphere. I can feel the Holy Ghost in the atmosphere. I can feel the demonstration and power of the Spirit in the atmosphere. May be seated. I was just for the last 10 days in Pakistan, and I really did not know what I was getting into. I remember the very first service. They said, "We have to drive to this area that's way outside of the safe zone." And they said, "It's about 4.5-5 hours away." And they said, "Well, we'll have security when we get there and everything." And so we get to this little Jesus village. That's the only way I can explain it to you, because I really felt like Jesus was going to step around the corner at some point. There were donkeys walking up and down the street, and there were just it was just really bizarre. It was like a time warp or something that happened. And we get to this little village in the middle of nowhere, and all of these guys with AK-47s show up and surround the team, and they're walking us through this village and to this Trinitarian group of people that are wanting to hear about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Walk into this area. They've got security everywhere, and everybody's being patted down as they're walking into this service area. You come in, and there's hundreds of people waiting to hear about the outpouring of the Spirit. We're standing in that service when all of a sudden there's this incredible uproar. This woman just starts coming down to the front, and she's jerking everywhere, and she is creating a disturbance that you could tell she was completely devil possessed. I mean, her eyes were just weird and rolling every direction, and there was such a spirit of distraction that came, and instantly there was a release of faith in that little space, and these people didn't know what was going on. They had never seen the demonstration and power of the Spirit. But in that moment, there was a release of faith that confronted that devil-possessed woman. I remember walking to the edge of that platform and simply saying, I said, I command you to be free in the name of Jesus. The moment I spoke that word, she fell down flat on the ground. Absolute peace overcame her. She jumped up to her knees and started speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. When she was set free, everybody in that room knew she was devil-possessed. It was just like the Bible said. They had known her. She had been possessed forever. She was a troublemaker forever. But when she was set free, a faith hit that audience. Instantly, you could feel the working of miracles manifest in that place. These people who knew nothing about the Holy Ghost, but the working of miracles manifested. And in a matter of 5 minutes, over 400 miracles happened just like that. Blinded eyes were opened, deaf ears were opened, the lame got up and began to run across the front of that little Pakistani church. One woman had tumors that were on the outside of her body, here and right in the middle of her chest, here on her shoulder, on her abdomen. When the gift of faith was released, instantaneously, every tumor on her body disappeared. Instantly. You say, how do we know that? We know that because the bishop's wife took her to the bathroom to find out if it was true. They had known her. They had known she had tumors. She took her into the bathroom to confirm what God... I'm here to tell somebody that these signs shall follow them that believe. When they saw those miracles, faith rose in that little courtyard. And in a matter of seconds, over 50 Pakistani men and women were instantly filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, just like the Bible says. And I feel that same faith here right now. I can feel it in the atmosphere even now. I want you to jump to your feet and clap your hands and shout unto God and shout unto God. Come on. I feel it happening in the atmosphere. You ought to go ahead and praise Him for it. You ought to celebrate it. While we're in the meeting that night, we find out that the Muslim extremists are out of control. They have roadblocked the entire city, so nobody can leave the city. They are in an uproar about something crazy. We get a word, brother, the Bishop Khalid of the United Pentecostal Church of Pakistan has many close political connections with the government. And they called him and they said, you stay put. Don't go anywhere. If they catch you, they'll kill you. So we're sitting in this little village, surrounded by all these guys with AK-47s, big machine guns, and They sneak us out of the grounds where we're having church and get us into this little house. And we're all sitting in this house waiting till the morning so we can leave. And of course, you know, Americans, we have no sense of patience. And we just could not even tolerate the idea of staying in that village for the night. And so we had made up our minds we were leaving. And so we had sent out all of these text messages, pray for us, we're going to try to sneak out of this town. And I get this text message back. I get this from a minister in North America. And He said, I am praying for you even now. He said, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you will pierce all darkness around you. He said, you will prevail over every spirit in Pakistan even now. He said, I speak to the very atmosphere and I command you to have favor. He said, you will be invisible. He says, you will be invisible. They will not see you. So it's 2 a.m. We're walking through this little town. There's no street lights. It's pitch black. We're surrounded by these armed guards walking through this town, trying to get to the edge of the town to get on the bus they've prepared for us. We get out there. Nobody sees us. Not a person on the streets. We get in the bus and start driving. Every roadblock we came to, it was as if they didn't even see us coming. They didn't hold up their hands. They didn't say stop. They didn't try to... Nothing. We got through every single roadblock, got on the road back to Islamabad, completely invisible. I'm here to tell somebody, I don't care what it is, God will do it tonight. God will do it tonight. God will do it tonight. We leave and go to this next village, this about 2 hours away from where Osama bin Laden was taken out. And we go to this village and get in this village, and I'm going to tell you, there was not a lot of people there that looked like me. And I know that's a shock to you. But there was nobody that looked like me. And, you know, there's just not a whole lot of white military-age men running around, American military-age men running around Pakistan right now, unarmed. You know, key word there. Yeah, my wife was very upset, and she said, you survived all of the military, and now you're in a foreign country and you don't even have a gun in your hand. She was not happy about that at all. So we get to this little village, another Trinitarian group. 50 more Trinitarians are filled with the Holy Ghost. Over 150 miracles happened that night. Then the next night, we have a conference in another little city, Rawalpindi, and we go into this little city, and we have church there. About 700 people show up, and we had incredible demonstration of the miraculous. Over 400 miracles happened in a matter of seconds. That night, exactly 120 people were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, just like the Bible says. That is what God is doing right now. Matter of fact, let me tell you what's going on in Vienna. In Vienna, Austria, in the last, 16 months, over 200 Muslims have been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name in the church that I pastor in Vienna. It has been an unprecedented breakthrough in the Muslim community. we had the most amazing thing happen. About November, I guess it was, maybe November. We had this German man walk into our church on a Sunday morning. And we had about 12 Muslims get the Holy Ghost that day and baptized about 12 Muslims in Jesus' name. And we've had over 200 Muslims baptized in Jesus' name also. But we had this this man come in, and he stayed for about 3-4 weeks maybe. And then he comes into my office and he said, "Pastor, you don't even know who I am." He said, "Let me tell you." He said, "I am the director of the Vienna Film Academy." He said, "I have been asked." I know none of you Pentecostals would even know what that means. You're all so spiritual, never heard of a film. I get it. I'm with you. I got it. And that's why you didn't say amen. I get it. You're so holy. Hallelujah. And so he said, "I'm the director of the Vienna Film Academy," which, to be honest with you, I didn't know what it was either. But apparently it is the same thing as the red carpet thing that they do in America. I forget what it's called. What's it called? Okay, we know who it is. You need to pray through. Okay. That's how preachers do that right there. They identify those who need help in the church just like that. Yes, apparently it's like the Oscars, okay? And so apparently hundreds of thousands of people come from all over the world to come to see the Vienna Film Academy every year. And it's this big thing downtown. And so anyhow, the guy said, "They have asked me to do a documentary talking about the Muslim refugee crisis in the European region." He said, "But I've been in your church for 3-4 weeks and I've realized that there is no crisis where there's the power of the Spirit." He said, "If you would allow me," he said, "I want to do this video on how Pentecost changes the lives of Muslims, and there is no crisis when people get the Holy Ghost." Of course, I told him, I said, "Well, we don't trust Hollywood very much." I said, "But," I said, "if you'll sign a contract and I get final creative rights and it can't be released without my permission," I said, "I'm all in. Let's do this thing." And so he shows up the next Sunday with an entire film crew. I mean, they set up cameras all over my church, big boom mics. I preached that Sunday that the love of Jesus will always lead you to repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And everything I preached, they captured every single moment in that video. It's a 7-minute video. They captured me preaching about repentance, and then they show these Muslims on their faces weeping, asking God to forgive them. And then I'm preaching about baptism, and they cut to all of these Muslims being baptized in Jesus' name and coming out of the water, just blown away by the power of God. And then I'm preaching about the Holy Ghost, and they cut to these tongue talkers, and they got boom mics over them, capturing them speaking in tongues. The first showing of that video was released in the city of Graz last week. They showed it to the entire city of Graz, 400,000 people. They named the movie One Sunday in Vienna. This is where we're heading as the people of God, where God is going to open doors we didn't pay for, we didn't ask for, we don't have any control of. It's like this Trinitarian revival that we've been having. Let me just tell you a little bit about that. I remember just about 15 months ago, I'm a little bit hot. Maybe it's because I've been throwing up for a few hours. I don't know. I about 15 months ago, I get this phone call from this man up in northern Germany, from Dusseldorf, Germany. He said, Brother Robinette, he said, are you the Brother Robinette that believes in the Holy Ghost? I said, yes, I believe in the Holy Ghost. He said, you're the one that baptizes in Jesus' name. I said, yes, that's me. He said, I am the bishop of about 22 Trinitarian churches up in northern Germany. He said, I want you to fly over here tomorrow and talk to us about how we can be a part of the United Pentecostal Church. So I get on a plane the next morning, fly up to Dusseldorf. I get in a car, drive down to Duisburg, and I walk into this home where there's about seven board members waiting to meet with me. And the guy leans forward and he says, how do we join the United Pentecostal Church? And I'm probably not the most politically correct person you'll ever meet. And I told him, I said, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard. I said, the right question is, how do we get the Holy Ghost and how do we get baptized in Jesus' name? I said, I'm not worried about your credentials. I'm worried about your soul. I said, if you want to hear about that, I'll stay. If you don't want to hear about that, I'll leave. He said, we want to hear about that. Speak to us. I start telling him about the Holy Ghost. He said, wait. He said, I need you to come back in 3 days. He said, I will gather all of my pastors. He said, they have got to hear about this. I fly back 3 days later, meet in this hall. There's about 30 ministers and wives that are gathered in this hall. I begin to preach to them, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. God instantly filled 21 ministers with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, just like the Bible said. We baptized 17 in Jesus' name that night. There was a man, one of the ministers that came. He came from Dusseldorf, drove down. He wasn't even affiliated with these people. He had been in prayer that day, and the Lord said to him, go to this address at this time, and there will be a man preaching that will preach to you in your own language. This man comes in. Nobody knows who he is, stands at the back of the church. I'm preaching about the oneness of God. He is trembling at the back of the church. He falls flat on his back, speaking with other tongues. I come back to where he is. We stop preaching. I go back. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this dude, you know. So I go back. I said to him, what is going on? And he starts speaking to me in Lingala. And I don't even know. I have no idea. That's some other language. It's not in the German-speaking nations. And so he starts speaking to me in Lingala, like I should understand what he's saying. I said, I don't understand you. I said, do you speak German? I tried German. He kept speaking Lingala. I tried English. He kept speaking Lingala. Man comes up and he gets down and kneels down by my side. And he said, he's asking you, how in the world did you learn to speak Lingala with a perfect dialect? I said, tell him I don't speak Lingala. He said, told him in Lingala that I didn't speak that language. He spoke back to him and said, he's speaking it right now. He said, everything he's saying, I'm hearing in my own language. He said, I can hear that there's one God in Lingala. I can hear to be baptized in Jesus' name in Lingala. I can hear that I need the Holy Ghost in Lingala. He said, you pointed back to me and told me in Lingala to lift my hands, repent of my sins, and I would receive the Holy Ghost. He said, I just got it because I obeyed you. We baptized Pastor Israel that day in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. Since that day, we have baptized over 180 Trinitarian ministers in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. And nearly 200 have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. In March, Just a few weeks ago, I was in Germany before going to Pakistan. And in a matter of 10 days, we had 87 Trinitarians receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. One of them was in Mönchengladbach, and it was Pastor Paul. And he's translating for me into French. I'm preaching in English. He's translating to French to this group of Congolese ministers that are studying this Holy Ghost and baptism and one God thing. In the middle of teaching, he leans over to me. He said, "Are you telling me that there is only one God and his name is Jesus?" I said, "Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you." He said, "Then I don't have it." He said, "You got to stop." He said, "I can't even translate for you until I'm baptized." He said, "Baptize me right now in Jesus' name." So I baptized Pastor Paul in Jesus' name. He comes out of the water speaking in tongues. 23 more of his saints line up. I baptized them in Jesus' name. They come out of the water speaking in other tongues. Then Pastor Paul pulls me aside and he said, "Bishop, you don't even know who I am." I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the bishop of 400 Trinitarian churches in Germany." He said, "You are now my bishop." He said, "My churches are now your churches." He said, "I want you to come back and preach the gospel message to all 400 of my pastors." He said, "Every church under my authority will now be a tongue-talking, Jesus' name, one." Oh, somebody clap your hands. Somebody shout unto God. Somebody shout. Stand with me. Stand with me if you will. Forgive me. This is the hour that we are living in right now. I could literally tell you testimonies all night long. Matter of fact, I was just doing a missions conference. I believe it was the third weekend of February in Michigan. We had 60-something people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in that one service, we had over 60 miracles that happened. And one of those miracles was truly amazing. Brother Chapdelaine's church. And I guess it would be the old Brother Clark's church. But Brother Chapdelaine pastors it now. I've got his voicemail right here when he called me. Sunday night we prayed. They brought this baby up, probably about that size. And a very newborn baby, but the head was swollen about three times the size that it should be. It was odd shaped. The eyes of the baby were crossed completely sideways. They had so many problems with the child. We prayed for that baby in the service and nothing happened. That night, the mother took that baby home, put that baby in its crib. About 7 hours later, she goes to pick up the baby that's crying. All of a sudden, the baby's head is completely down to normal size. It's completely round. The eyes are straight. Every health problem in that child, in those 7 hours, God completely healed. Boom. Boom. Brother Chapdelaine called me and he said, he didn't mean it like this, but he said, "You aren't going to believe what God has done." Began to tell me that testimony. He could barely keep himself under control. Just September, we were in the nation of Malawi where God filled 3,010 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I remember when they lined up 46 blind people across the front. Nobody laid hands on them. Nobody could get the credit for what God was going to do. Nobody could say, "Look what I've done." They could only say, "Look what God had done." Yeah. 46 blind people across the front. We simply spoke the word of faith. There's no way that I could recreate the cry that went out across those 10,000 people when those 46 blind people saw for the first time. You have to understand. You got to understand. They knew these people. They had been blind. They'd known they were blind. They knew, like the man that sat at Gate Beautiful. They knew who he was. They knew he'd been crippled since birth. They knew. They said, a notable miracle hath been done. How do we handle this? The supreme leader of the nation of Zimbabwe was on the platform with us when they saw for the first time. That supreme chief could not contain himself. He began to shake from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And instantly the supreme chief of Zimbabwe was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Then we called for the deaf. 40 deaf people instantly healed. 517 diseases, malaria, AIDS, you name it, instantly healed. Cancer, tumors. The Bible said, these signs shall follow. That word shall literally means something must take place. It is an order. It is a promise. It is an obligation. It is a requirement. It will happen now. I remember leaving Malawi in September, right before General Conference. I went to Brazil. I remember they had a district superintendent of the Amazonas region. And he had just had a stroke. The entire left side of his body was paralyzed. I can still remember, like it was yesterday, when that man jumped up out of his wheelchair. I can't even explain to you the cry that broke out across those 5,000 or 6,000 people when they saw their district superintendent that they knew. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. That's where God is taking this church in these last days. We don't have time to win one soul at a time. God is going to give us favor in our cities where we're going to have a city-wide revival. Every church, I prophesy over every church in this city and every church in the surrounding area that there will be a revelation of the name of Jesus. We will no longer win one soul at a time. We will now win one pastor and one church and one city, one state, one nation. Brother Corbin called me from Bangladesh called me a couple months ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. It's very amazing how God works in these last days. I had gotten this phone call that there was that the week that we had our annual, 12 years we've been doing a crusade in Malawi, but they had a conflict. Somehow we weren't going to be able to go. And I'm sitting at my desk in my office that August 27th through September 3rd. And I'm sitting at my desk and I said, "Now God," I said, "there has to be a place that you want to give us a revival." I said, "Give us revival somewhere." And my phone rang. It was Brother Corbin. He said, "Brother Robinette, I know this is absolutely ridiculous." He said, "There's just no way this could even be possible." He said, "What are you doing August 27th through September 3rd? He said, "I want to rent out a stadium in the city of Khulna." He said, "I want to rent out a stadium, about 10,000 people. He said, "I believe the Lord has given me a vision for 1 million souls in 4 years. He said, "Would you put together a crusade team and come?" Well, that was the first day. The next day, the government gave him favor and said, "We will give you the stadium that seats 15,000. Then the next day, the government called and said, "You can have the stadium that seats 20,000. Yesterday, I got off the phone with Brother Corbin, and they have now granted us the stadium that seats 40,000 people. I believe we are going to have a 20,000 soul harvest in a matter of 2 days in that nation. Here's what's amazing. I forgot this, but last year in Malawi, sit down a minute, I'm sorry, I'll get back to that. Last year in Malawi, 2 weeks before Malawi, I get a phone call from Pastor Modlin from Louisiana. We had a team of 21 pastors going with us, and so Brother Modlin called me. He said, "Brother Robinette, I'm so sorry." He said, "I can't go. They've just diagnosed me with advanced prostate cancer." And he said, the doctors have told me if I don't start treatment now, there's nothing that can be done." The Lord spoke to me on the phone call. And the Lord said, "If he will come to Malawi, he will be the first miracle." So I said, "Brother Modlin," I said, "here's what the Lord has said. If you will show faith, buy your ticket, get on the plane, and don't worry about the doctors, you will be the first miracle in Malawi." He bought his ticket, got on the plane, showed up in Johannesburg. We get to Johannesburg, fly over to Durban, where we normally have 3 or 4 days of prayer meetings with the team just to get acclimated spiritually and get all the North American mentality out of them before the crusade starts, because that always messes everything up. And so we normally take 3 or 4 days to pray and get our spirits right. And first prayer meeting, right in the middle of the prayer meeting, the gifts of healing and the working of miracles set down like a storm in that room. We told Brother Modlin to stand. I had the ministers lay hands on him. You could tell his complexion changed immediately. I mean, changed immediately. But 2 weeks after the crusade, 2 weeks after, I get a phone call. "Brother Robinette, you're not going to believe what God has done." He said, "They can't find a single tumor. They can't find any cancer. All my blood levels are back the way they should be." So that brings me full circle to Bangladesh. So I get this great phone call last week. It's incredible. I get this phone call from the missionary to Israel. He's blind. And he has heard of Brother Modlin being the first miracle in Malawi. So he calls me and he said, "Brother Robinette, I don't want to be a burden to the team." He said, "But I believe that if I come to Bangladesh, I will be the very first miracle." Yeah. I really struggled with that because I wanted to pray for him on the phone. But can you imagine what a miracle it will be in Bangladesh? So I resisted the urge to pray on the phone. Because he is going to be the very first miracle. When those blind eyes open in that crusade, and 40,000 people see the blind see. Whew. Stand with me. So we have Bangladesh, August 27th through September 3rd. And of course, there's no doubt about that. I am raising money for that. But that's a side note. But here's the more important note. This is what I was talking to my brothers about on the way here from the airport. I really feel like we are living in an hour where God is getting ready to release and impart apostolic things into the next generation so that we can see whole stadiums get the Holy Ghost. Where we can see 40,000 miracles and 40,000 tongue talkers. I just want to say this. Right now, I have 48 team members that have already signed up to go with me to Bangladesh, August 27th through September 3rd. If there are any licensed ministers that want to go with me, I would want you first to submit yourself to Brother Glover. If Brother Glover says that is the will of God, then it is the will of God. But if there is anybody that feels led of the Spirit, Brother Glover, if you feel led of the Spirit that there's a young minister in your church that you believe would be edified by being exposed to that, I will take them with me. So I just want to put that out there, that as much as I'd love help, I'd much rather help the kingdom of God than be helped. And so if we can do something. Last year I took two 16-year-olds with me to Malawi. And they saw the blinded eyes open for the first time in their life. And I'm going to tell you, their whole life has changed. I feel the gift of faith here right now. I feel the working of miracles here right now. I feel the gifts of healing here right now. I want you to lift up your hands all over this place. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to speak with other tongues as loud as you can. Let your voice loose as loud as you can. Go ahead and lift up your voice. Shatala bahasatala bakata. Woo. So here's what we're going to do. God is going to do mighty things tonight. Mighty things. If you need a miracle in your body, matter of fact, if you have pain in your body right now, and you would know immediately when it was gone. If you have pain in your body, you need a miracle in your body that you would know comfort. You would know it was confirmed immediately. I want you to just lift up a hand if you'd know it was done. I want everybody that lifted up a hand to come stand in this altar quickly. Quickly, quickly. If you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, never spoken with other tongues. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, I want you to quickly come into this altar. Quickly, quickly, quickly. If you are hungry, desperate for a release of the demonstration and power of the Spirit in your life, in your ministry, in your church, I want you to come and gather with me quickly. Shatalabasa. Ikayandalabohoshaya makatalabakatalabaki. I want you to turn to somebody near you and prophesy. I want you to say, God will do it right now. Loose that prophetic word. God will do it right now. Matter of fact, I want you to look at them and say, God has done it now. Now listen to me. Now listen. Just a minute. Listen. When it will fall at one time. And there will be such a release of the power of God. You will know it has happened immediately. When I was in Louisiana last year, the year before last, preaching the camp meeting there, I had just opened my text. There was a woman two rows back in the middle, three rows back in the middle. And forgive me, I'm trying to remember her name, but I just can't right now. But she was sitting, she's in Brother Jerry Dean's church anyhow. She was sitting about three rows back, severe MS. And taking shots and pills daily just to keep the symptoms at bay. And she was having a conversation with God. She said, Lord, you've got to heal me tonight. The Lord said, what would you do and how would you act if I healed you right now? She said, well, I would jump to my feet. And I would start running around this campground screaming, I am healed. The Lord spoke back to her simply this and said, what are you waiting for? She jumped to her feet and began to shout around that place. With everything she had, the moment she jumped to her feet, it released the gift of faith and working of miracles in that crowd. Hundreds of miracles happened instantly. One of those miracles, you've probably already heard of this because it's been in all kinds of our periodicals. But I remember when Brother Mangan brought that autistic child onto the platform. We laid our hands on that child. I mean, that kid was out of control. But when we spoke the name of Jesus, instantly that autism was broken. That child calmed instantly, stood still, turned around to his mother and said, I love you. There was a release of miracles. Cancer was healed. Blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears were unstopped. MS was healed. Oh, so many miracles happened, but literally, the Lord spoke to her and said, what are you waiting for? So I would ask you, what are you going to do? The moment God heals you tonight, what are you going to do? Are you going to shout? Are you going to dance? Are you going to praise? What are you going to do when God heals your body? What are you going to do when God imparts that gifting into you that you've been praying for? So listen, here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, we're going to speak the word of faith. And we're going to release it. I can already see miracles all over you. We're going to release it into the atmosphere. When you hear me shout hallelujah, I want you to shout hallelujah as loud as you can. But the moment you shout hallelujah, I want you to begin to praise the Lord like it's already done. Whatever you are seeking, if it's a miracle, it will happen instantly. If impartation's what you, it'll happen immediately. If it the Holy Ghost, it'll happen immediately. I want everybody to lift up your hands. Everybody close your eyes and lift up your head. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to praise the Lord as loud as you can. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus and by the anointing that is on me now, I command you, receive your miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Find somebody to lay your hands on. Begin to speak in tongues over somebody now. Lay your hands on them and speak in tongues. Can you lift your hands one more time and lift up a great shout of praise? Lift up a great shout. Well, let's see what the Lord has done. Let's see what God has done. If you have